Thing.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Reflex Blue Show. I'm your host, Donovan Beery, and we are still at the How Design Live conference here in Chicago at the Hyatt. And I have with me frequent guests Justin Ahrens and Wills Francis from Wheels for Water, right? Is that correct?
Well, I mean, he's from Rule 29, but yeah, Wheels for Water will work.
Yes. Yeah, you guys are like rebranding the whole Rule 29, bailing on that failed enterprise and moving straight to Wheels for Water.
It feels like it this week, actually. But no, it's just an event that we are doing. It's in its second year, and
yeah, I think we talked about it before on the show. So it's the original thing started with you biking like 1,000 miles.
Yeah, so I was gonna. Well, I did actually.
Yeah.
2 weeks after Howl last year, I rode from Boston to Chicago, 1,207 miles. Not that I was counting. And the goal was to get each mile sponsored for $40 to try to raise $40,000 to start a project in Uganda. And we ended up raising at the end of the year $102,000.
Well, and the goal is so the wheels stands for the bicycles, right? Bicycle
man,
wheels.
Man, look
right?
at you!
Did I get this right?
Yeah, you got it right. Yeah.
The four stands for I don't actually know.
Wheels for water, so meaning we're gonna.
Okay. I didn't know if the four stood for something else.
Like, no, it's just more of a transition to.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the water is because for every $40, if I remember right, you can provide somebody in Uganda water for life. Is that correct?
Yeah, so it's actually water, sanitation, education, and hygiene education for life. So it's one of our clients, Life Water. They're like the country's oldest water organization. And they've discovered in their model that for $40 you can do that. And so that just blew us away. So we were trying to figure out
a way. It's amazing because people, I mean, you spend bottled water is like $2 and you're thinking that'd be like 20 bottled waters or a lifetime of water.
Yeah, I mean, think about if you gave up, let's say you go to Starbucks every day. I don't know how much is a coffee now.
Four bucks.
Yeah.
$87.
Yeah, so $87 a coffee.
Yeah.
That's, you know, two people of water for life. And then some.
That's amazing.
That's crazy, yeah. So we were really blown away and excited about the fact that it worked out. And we're going to take a year off to kind of figure out what we want to do again, whether it was a wheels ride or something else. And we were planning to go back this fall to see the project. And Lifewater said, hey, you want to check out this really extreme area of the Congo, Democratic Republic of Congo? We're going to start a same kind of program in schools. I mean, think about this. You know, you go to school and there's no sanitation, so you have to kind of go out wherever around the school, you know, in the jungle or wherever you can kind of, you know, hide and go to the bathroom. There's no fresh water, so you have to bring the water with you if they have to go fetch it. And they don't have
these are like real problems. Like, these aren't like, how am I going to get my coffee in the morning problems. These are like real world problems.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think when we went and saw the success and also the reality, you know, we saw a before and after program when we were in Uganda. It really shifted all of us because we were blown away that, you know, you read about it's one thing, but when you experience it, it's something else. So anyway, so we decided to do another ride this year, bringing more people into it. And Howe was gracious enough to give us the stage to see if the community wanted to join us in helping get to our goal.
And you also, when you go down to the exhibit hall here at Howe, or last month, when you went down there, these are delayed. I'm not releasing these live or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you went down there, the first booth was, I mean, you guys got like a 20-foot by 10-foot booth that looks like four wheels for water, where you've set up a couple bicycles where people can actually run a little vinyl record player or something or run a power drill. Is that what the other?
Yeah. So we were really blown away. Amy Conover from How has been so gracious. Well, the whole How team has been amazing. And they said, hey, would you want to come and have a booth? And Wills and I were like, yeah, that'd be great.
Of course.
And then they gave us the diagram, and I was like, wow, that's right in front of the entrance. They're like, yeah, we gave you a great spot. And we just didn't think it was real. And then when we got here, we were just so thrilled, you know, to have we're the first thing you see. And then there's an organization called Working Bikes in Chicago.
Okay.
And what they do is they will take bikes that you want to get rid of, and they'll repair them, and they'll actually get them to Africa for people to use them. And one of the things they do for fundraising and PR and all that sort of thing is they've made these sort of contraptions, you know? So it's like an old, nasty Schwinn that maybe your great-grandma or grandpa had, right? And you sit on this exercise bike, and one will power a record player, which is awesome, and another one will power.
We had some Madonna's and Michael Jackson. I saw Prince's 1999 down there.
Solid records.
Yeah, we actually probably should have thought better on our selection because I love Michael Jackson Thriller, but when you listen to it 98 times in a row,
everyone else loves it too.
Yeah. So then another one actually powers a power drill, spins a globe, and it's the whole concept of riding around the world. So anyways, it was really fun to have those things to kind of bring people in. You know, it's like bees to honey. It was great.
Okay. And you said part of it was that, I know there's always, for years, there's been designers that do a lot of work for pro bono charities, and you guys have done it before this Wheels for Water. But this is like the first time I've seen at a conference where it's like first thing in the exhibition hall, they're promoting, here's some designers doing something. And you said that how actually was going to start doing this is a cause-related thing with the exhibit hall possibly even going forward.
Yeah, I think what's been great about how that has been, I think, different from other shows is I really feel that they made some great changes and they're trying new things. So the exhibit hall seems to be really dynamic. You know, there's, you know, sitting areas.
Oh, they always make changes. Some of them work, some don't. But
this year it seems like it's kind of really hitting all strides, I think. But what was really amazing to me is that this whole concept of let's go into, and this is their vision, when we go to a city, let's find a cause, a local cause, or local designers who are doing a cause, and let's support them. Let's help our conference make a difference. And I think that's great. So when they gave us a call, we were just blown away. And they said, hey, if this works out and something people enjoy, then we'll keep doing it. I think that's really cool for the conference to go from city to city and try to make impact.
Yeah. No, that's great. And it's great for them to, because as I said, people have been doing this before, but if you're doing this, you know, a lot of work for charities, you can't afford a booth at a conference.
No way.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
I thought I was going to dress Wills up in like a hot dog costume and have him run around or a jerry can would have been more appropriate.
Right.
And have him go around and ask for donations.
I was really happy for the booth.
Yeah.
But it was really cool. It seemed like when Amy got up there, she really set the tone of kind of this underlying mission and goal for the conference. And, I mean, every person that comes by the booth has been so excited and wants to learn how they can get involved, and whether that's through donations or buying some product or riding on the bikes. It seems like the tone is kind of elevated in the mission of the week. So we're really excited.
My favorite was we had some new friends from Dubai come by, and we're like, hey, come to Dubai. Ride your bike. So many bikers. We'll raise lots of money. And I was like, well, how am I going to get there? He's like, just come over. As if I'm just going to jump on my private 36-point plane and
Put some pontoons there on the bike and pedal it.
Get over there?
Yeah. So Will's have you ridden the 1,200-mile bike ride yet? Or
no, I have not. No, I'm waiting for my opportunity to get involved in this whole thing. I'm not much of a cyclist, but I've been excited to...
You've been running the stationary bike down there all week, getting ready for it?
Oh, I have. And so, I mean, my mileage is way low compared to these guys who've been training for a while, but I think over time, hopefully, we'll get there. So
yeah, we'll get him there. We're going to do something different next year. We've had such great outpouring of support. Next year, we're going to probably go to 3 to 5 cities, 3 for sure, maybe 5, and have one-day rides where people can get together as a group, help us raise X amount of money, whatever that would be, for whatever project, whatever country Life Water's in, and allow a bunch of people from around the country who are interested to be a part, work together to make a difference. So we'll announce that probably in the fall. We're just trying to get through the next ride, which is coming up here pretty quick.
Where does the next ride go from?
Next ride goes from north of San Francisco, down the coast to San Luis Obispo, which is Life Water's headquarters. So okay. 450 miles for 450 children. Every mile is $40. Hopefully we'll raise $18,000 and be able to start the project. And then we'll keep fundraising throughout the whole year. We hope, if we're fortunate, like last year, to, you know, raise more and perhaps, you know, do some work in other schools too in that area. But that's our goal right now.
Okay, and where do people go? Is it wheels4water.com?
.org.
.org.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So wheels4water.org. Find out more information and figure out how you two can do a 1,207-mile journey or the 450-mile California jaunt.
That's right. Right. You just, you know, one is longer, one is just a lot more extreme climbing. which is not great for me, but we'll figure it out.
Cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back with Wills and Justin right after this. So you guys are talking. No, Wills, do you get to talk at this thing too, at the HAL conference?
At the HAL conference, not this year. Unfortunately.
Yeah, he's keeping you off the stage, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, I'm more of a copywriter, so they probably boot me off the stage.
Well, don't let him, you know, kid you. He's going to be doing some interpretive moves while I give my presentation.
Okay,
yeah, that's going to be on the left stage.
Yeah, he's very talented.
Okay, and what's your presentation on?
It's about the concept between culture and creative. What's more important?
Okay, so the fact that you're not allowing Wills on the stage with you means he culturally does not fit.
No, see, I am giving him an opportunity to be uniquely himself by allowing him to express himself through dance and frolicking and interpreting how I'm saying things to give the audience a different experience.
So his culture fits even better.
Perhaps.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So I assume when you have a talk called Culture versus Creative or something, you're probably gonna push that the culture actually matters as much as the creative.
I actually would at this point, I'm in the camp of saying, over the long haul, culture wins over creative. And the reason that is because you could have the greatest design firm in the world, or you can be the greatest designer, for example.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, Donovan. Brilliant. But if you're working in an organization, you want to build an organization that there's sustainable, awesome creative, but you don't understand your culture, you don't understand your values, you don't have things in place to actually have them be just more than lip service, right? You have structure, you have parameters, you have you know, a very clear definition of what that is. You're never going to hire the right people because there's going to be no clarity there. And then if you don't test the culture fit of your future teammates, you know, employees, then you're never going to have the culture created, and then you're never going to do the kind of work you want to do, and then you never attract the kind of work that you ultimately want to do. And so I think if
it's now, did this come out of like what your life training and stuff, where that's kind of based on your work-life balance and realizing that maybe the life that you live in the work environment should also kind of maybe match the life that you want to live outside of it?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. I think the big thing is, and we talked about this before, you know, I've started a couple different organizations, you know, companies, have been a part of some. And then Rule 29, you know, even we're 15 this year, but 12 years ago, we almost went out of business. And, you know, none of us went to school to understand how to run a business, right? How to manage people. We just didn't have that. You know, I went to a liberal arts, you know, I was an art major, right? With emphasis in design. I didn't take any business classes. So I think if you want to have a healthy, sustainable, interesting organization, creatives can't use that as an excuse. They have to educate themselves. And so one of the things that I've realized when I look back is, what was the common thread? Like, when was I most successful? When were things most challenging? I've kind of narrowed that down to culture. And when I look at the last 15 years of Rules 29, when we've been the best is when we've had the right people. And part of that is when I've been able to define who we are, what we're about. And for example, right now, you know, for the first time in a while, we've had some turnover, which was really, I don't think, any fault of the culture. It's just life, you know, we had a couple of people starting
right.
a family. And
I've seen that many times. Yeah. Our firm has three or four people leave, you know, if they're a 12-person firm. And everyone's like, oh, what happened? It's like, no, it just none of them were related. Sometimes none of them are related.
I mean, for me, it's interesting. I hired them all around the same time. Right, so I have two people start families. I have another designer who I love, was with me for 7 years, and it was his first job out of school, and he wanted to try something new, and I totally get it, you know.
Yeah.
But when I had to refocus and make sure that I knew what our culture was and define it for the new people joining our team, it sort of reinvigorated the fact that I needed to pay attention to it. And so this is one of those things that I love about this conference, is you can go and, you know, talk about things from different perspectives and have conversations.
Now, how do you go about actually telling your team what the culture is? Is it something that you just set by example, or do you actually have like a written plan, or like how do they find out what the culture should be?
Yeah, there's a lot of ways. So there definitely is a mission that's expressed. I talk about it all the time in different ways. You know, part of our mission is the concept of making creative matter, and then I break down how that lives in our organization. Then for most of the team, I talk to them about what are things they're interested in or passionate about, and give them initiatives so they feel a sense of ownership. And I also want to create space for them to be authentic. Studies show when you have a place where you can be, for example, the same person you are at home, you are at work.
Sure.
When you can be that person, you tend to be happier at your job, you tend to be more creative, more efficient, more innovative, and you tend to be a longer lasting employee. Those are all great things that we want. So creating opportunities for that to happen, and then doing things that matter, right? Doing projects with Wheels for Water. You know, a lot of people want to do passion projects. Sometimes they don't have time to do them, right? Because when they get out of work, they have a family, and or maybe they like doing that work, but they're not overly passionate about something, which isn't a bad thing. So I want to create opportunities for us to do that there. And then finally, it's transparency. I think it's really important for us as a creative firm. Like, you don't have to show everyone, you know, the debt on your office versus, you know, whatever else, but make sure they know where they're at. Make sure that they know everything's okay. Make sure they know if everything's not okay and what needs to happen. I think a lot of times we say in this field, we don't want leadership. We don't want people to tell us what to do. I want to be a freelancer so I control my own schedule. In reality, in the end, we all come down to wanting to have some sense of structure and some sense of leadership. And that is all part of the culture mixture.
Yeah, the weird thing about the freelancer thing is you want to have your own schedule, but your clients still work 8 to 5, and that's when they're going to call you.
Mm-hmm.
So you can work whatever time, and you can take some afternoons off, but you don't kind of work 8 to 5. It kind of bites you anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, and again, there's obviously nuances depending on what type of, you know, firm or studio, right, whatever else you're in. But in general, those are the things that I found are really, really valuable. And Simon Sinek, who was here, just blew my mind opening night. He actually touched on a lot of these things. And I think that one of the things he said, and he was talking about something a little different than what we're talking about here, but you can apply it. When you're at an organization, and when people say, you know, that's just kind of normal, that's what happens. Just because something's normal doesn't mean it's good. And so I think when you identify the type of culture you want to be in, the kind of, you know, work you want to do, you know, just don't pick something that you think is just kind of the status quo. Try to find something that uniquely is tied into who you are.
Okay, that's great advice. All right, we'll be back with Justin Wills right after this. We got all day, so I mean, Will's actually getting up and doing some interpretive dance here in the corner or something. Is what it seems like.
Yeah, well, I have been preparing that.
Is that
do you
your
listen
passion
other,
thing?
Do you listen to other podcasts, by the way?
Very little. I only listen to this podcast to make sure it recorded right.
Right.
No, I've listened to a couple. I know. I did listen. Our old host, co-host Nate Voss, was on The Busy Creator with Scott Perez Fox.
Okay.
So and it was like the 55th show he'd had. I knew he started up a show, and the next thing I see is like, oh man, this guy's got like,
jeez,
he's prolific. But yeah, Nate, it was fun to hear. That's, you know, cool. Catch up on Nate because Nate moved to Kansas City, is why he's not on the show.
Hold on a second. Do you have a 6 Plus?
Oh yeah, the phone. Yeah. The weird
Do
thing
you
is
like that thing. That's like carrying an iPad. I don't get
you know.
It.
Now that it's summer, it's kind of weird to have it in your pocket compared to other stuff. But I tell you what, once you go to the larger screen, you just can't go back.
Yeah,
I know.
I've heard that before.
Yeah, people just hand me their like. It's like I had to type in an address or something on someone's phone. They hand me like the old 5. I'm like, how did I ever use this thing?
Yeah,
it's not usable.
Yeah, let me see that.
I just want to just take it and dump in the trash to do them a favor. But I tell you what, once we got these, then my wife's no longer like really wanting an iPad for herself.
Oh, well, that's
she thinks this 2.5-year-old needs an iPad though. But
I don't know how to work this thing. It's so big.
Yeah, well, you get used to it.
Oh, hey, let's talk about this. So, one of the things that we've been doing at Rule 29 is we've been really excited about all the podcasts that have been out. I mean, I know everyone's been talking about Serial. Did you listen to Serial, by the way?
No, I saw a lot about it.
Donovan.
Once I'm in my office, man, it's all about this. This is your craft.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I don't know, but I heard great things.
Yeah, but we want to know your opinion. Is Adnan innocent or guilty?
I never heard any of it. I don't know. Oh. Don't ask me.
Oh, man.
You know, I think we're going to have a podcast and have you on so you can reveal to us who you think did it or what's...
Now, you used to have that... Well, no, you had the 29 questions.
I did, yeah.
But you did a podcast with us on it.
Yes.
With ours was the podcast one, but the other ones were all written ones, weren't they?
Yeah, and to get
Are
people
Are you still
to,
doing the Making Creative Matter?
We're doing the Creative Matters, yeah, like newsletter and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But we don't do... We used to interview people, like you said, and ask them 29 questions. And you know what? That's a lot of questions to answer.
Yeah, yeah.
So, which is funny you bring that up, because we've been thinking about, Wills and I, about podcasting. We'd love to just kind of get your thoughts on it. So you don't listen to any podcasts. You're not listening to, like, Gimlet Media, to, like, Startup, or to, like, Reply All. You would actually love the show Reply All. It's about the internet.
No, sadly, no. I am the worst person to ask about.
You don't even listen.
Really?
You don't listen to, like, nerdy podcasts, like about Star Wars or Jelly Beans or whatever?
No, I read a lot of blogs.
Huh?
But I just do it all via reading and stuff. I don't
see. I didn't think you read that much. I thought you would be more of a
audio.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. No, I don't like to blog as much, but I read blogs, but I like to podcast, but I don't listen to podcasts.
That's
interesting.
Wow, that's a conundrum. Yeah. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Huh. Let's ask a couple questions.
Yeah.
So, but do you enjoy podcasting?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And when I do, every now and then when I listen to a podcast, I'm like, I don't not like it. I just don't. Maybe I need to find a way to listen to them in a car or something.
Yeah.
I mean, with that iPhone 6 Plus, I mean, that speaker is probably massive. You could, you know,
I probably just need to do it on the way to work and back or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I do it.
That's me too.
I have a short commute. It's like 15 minutes, but I can get most of the podcasts I like in one day. So I can stay sort of up on what's going on. Do you don't listen to This American Life or anything?
No.
I'm still blown away by this.
Yeah, I know.
It's wild.
Nothing.
Do you watch like shows on Netflix or anything? Or?
We did cut the cable and we got Netflix and Hulu. So that's all we've been watching.
So what do you
right
watch
now.
On that?
You know, I reran through all of Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Great, all
of those. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. In fact, I was reminded of it last night because the Nina party here was at a bar called Untitled, where there was no sign on the door, just the address on
awesome.
The side.
Cool.
And then you had to, like, tell the doorman why you were there, and then you went in there, and it's like, I don't... And I think they had a whole episode with hipster bars with no signs on doors and stuff, and mm-hmm. I'm like, this kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you watch House of Cards?
I haven't started that one yet. I mean,
oh my
I
gosh,
assume that I'm going to have...
Yeah.
No,
like,
listen.
That's like strike two here.
We've only had Netflix for like 2 months. So we got caught up on Orange is the New Black.
Because Netflix has just been invented in your world? I mean, what's going on?
No, we had cable before and just DVR okay. stuff. But so we got caught up on Orange is the New Black. I got caught up on Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And we moved into a new house, so we're packing and stuff. So
Did you go through your Breaking Bad binge?
No, I'd already watched it. No, I'd watched that before.
Okay.
When
okay,
I was
okay.
on, you know, I caught up on that before the series finale. And then I think we're 3 episodes into Daredevil.
Oh, how's that? I tried to get in the first episode.
Yeah, my boys love that.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty violent.
Yeah. I probably should make sure that they should be watching that. But that's a story for another day. So, hey, let's ask you questions about podcasts. So what kind of podcast do you think you'd want to hear?
Well, no. See, you're looking at it wrong because if the hardest part with podcast is the continually doing the podcast. So if you're just doing what other people want to hear, then you just get burned out and you quit doing it.
Oh, no, we have ideas. I think your perspective is right on. I think my transition question there was to find out what sort of thing would make Donovan Barry listen to a podcast
for the first time.
Subject matter.
Maybe if it was in blog form.
Ooh, that'd be an amazing invention.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would it have to be about sci-fi or video games?
I do not keep up on the video games. I have not kept up on video games in 20 years.
Hmm. I think you're lying to me right now.
No, I mean, I got the Street Fighter arcade machine at the
right.
office.
And that's it?
Yeah, and that's 20 years old. So.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't had it that long. But
so would you listen to a podcast that was maybe about design, but not necessarily about designers?
Sure. I mean, I don't...
No, so let's say, for example, so you, Alice Cooper, by the way, how's the show?
Oh, it was wonderful, man. Alice is...
He can still rock, right, for an old dude, yeah.
He opened for Motley Crue on the farewell tour.
Love it.
Yeah. What a show.
Yeah, the Tommy Lee, they had his drum set on a roller coaster that went above the crowd and like went all like three quarters of the way into the auditorium.
Awesome. Wow.
It's very cool. Yeah, we just saw Alice Cooper a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
He can still rock. So let's say, would you listen to an app?
Maybe I would listen to a podcast about Alice Cooper talking about design.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm thinking.
Right?
Yeah.
So
I think it would be interesting to have have somebody like that and saying like how design affects what they do.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
So
I think
we're on the same page in a lot of ways.
Yeah, just have Alice do the whole show.
Have you, by the way, have you ever listened to his radio show?
No.
It's absolutely
I've seen him do interviews throughout the last 30 years, since I can remember. And every time you see him, you're like, this guy's smart.
No, he literally knows everybody on Earth. It's incredible. Like, you sit and talk to him, and you'll go from, like, President Nixon to Elvis to Justin Bieber to Justin Timberlake to whoever. And I'm like, how do you know those people, right? He's just that kind of dude. He's really charming. So again, going back, so you would listen to a podcast about the design of things from different mediums or by different people.
I would be as likely to listen to that podcast as the other ones I don't listen to.
Oh man, that was a great follow up right there.
Brought us right back down to earth.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay. Well, what about if it did a podcast about Mountain Dew flavors?
You know, we have not kept up on our Mountain Dew flavors like we used to. They just started coming out too rapidly.
Yeah.
And I think most of their new flavors are all like the crazy caffeine things, the energy drink ones, and I don't do any of those, so.
I stopped at Baja Blast at Taco Bell. It's the only place they sell it.
Yeah, they did start making lime-flavored Mountain Dew that I saw sold somewhere else, but they couldn't call it Baja Blast because I think that Taco Bell had...
By the way, can we talk about Taco Bell for a second?
Sure.
Have you guys had their breakfast? It looks absolutely disgusting,
but I kind of want to try it. We did, I want to say, probably about a year ago when it came to Omaha. There's two of us in the office, and then we had an intern, and we got up in the morning, and we drove down there. We got the Taco Bell breakfast, and we drove back, and then it actually tastes like most things Taco Bell. It tastes great going in, and then about 2 hours later, like, I'm kind of hungry again. I don't even know if I ate.
I thought you were going to say you're going to pass out.
But they also, that was actually maybe the last new Mountain Dew flavor I had. They had a Morning Dew, which is half orange juice and half Mountain Dew or something.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how I
don't know if they
that.
Still have that anymore, but yeah.
Did it come out of the fountain?
No, it was like behind the fountain. You got a smaller thing, so there was no like free refills. But it didn't matter with the refills because we were leaving anyway. We got it to go.
Hey, you'd be passed out by that time, anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what'd you think? Was it good or not good?
Well, I haven't been back.
Oh, well, it's
so
just a question.
But you don't listen to podcasts either, so that doesn't really.
Yeah,
tell
I mean,
us much.
I mean, I not against
Netflix
it, but I'm not going to go there again.
If Zero is a breakfast taquito from 7-Eleven and 10 is an Egg McMuffin, where does it fall within the spectrum?
Oh man, I haven't had either.
It's a great spectrum.
I haven't had a taquito breakfast thing I think ever, and I haven't had an Egg McMuffin.
I mean, I think you can pretty much imagine.
You can imagine
taquito,
the one rolling on the thing.
Yeah, it's been on there for like a month.
I might put that as the 10.
Oh no. Alright, I have to come up with another scale then.
Yeah.
Alright.
So
no, I would put it I would put it probably if you got an Egg McMuffin as a 10,
okay,
then I might put it at like a 7.
Huh.
So, but I wouldn't. But that's only because your scale has an Egg McMuffin that is the 10.
Well, what would be a 10? The taquito?
No, there's like
a breakfast,
Sweet Magnolia,
a breakfast runza
in Omaha where they make like all of their rolls and stuff from scratch, and you get some like cinnamon rolls with pecans and stuff.
We're trying to use the fast food spectrum of
fast food across the nation.
Right. I would even put the Taco John's breakfast burritos. Those I would put above the Egg McMuffin.
Taco John's.
Yeah, they start doing the breakfast.
That must be an Omaha thing because I have no idea what that is.
think they started in South Dakota. I actually worked at one for like a year and a half. It's like a Taco Bell, but the ingredients are a little bit better. And they have the tater tots with like a seasoning over them for their side.
That's delicious. So coming back full circle, what HOW conference is this for you? How many times have you been to the HOW conference?
Oh, this is the seventh.
Nice. Wow.
I think.
Besides right. us, of course.
This
who
has
been your favorite?
One.
I know, it's insane. I just didn't put...
So is this your 25th?
I knew that was coming, Tita Pie. No, I think it's my 13th, though. I've been to half of them-ish.
Okay.
I remember the first time I came here, we'd won one of the design awards, and we got to come, and I was just blown away. But back then, it seemed like there was like 10,000 people here.
There's over 4,000 this year.
Yeah.
That's what I'm told. So I think it's back to where they want it.
Yeah, that's really, really great.
It's huge.
So, who besides us, of course, who's been your favorite person to interview?
At the HOW conference?
Yeah, this year.
We'll limit it to HOW conference. Oh, this year?
Yeah.
Well, I've only interviewed three other people, so...
Us.
So we must be close to the top.
Yeah.
Top three
yeah.
for sure.
Well, there's... Well, you guys are the
top,
fourth, so...
Top
guys,
four, at least.
You guys are in the top six.
There we go.
No, I think we've had some good shows. I mean, they've all come out in the last few weeks. I think they've all been pretty good. We haven't had any... real duds until
now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that you're naming any names.
Right.
By the way, when's the last time you interviewed Drew Davies?
You know, I'm working on a post for him. It should be, maybe it's out or not, but he did a really, really nice piece on some Nina Paper, so I'm going to write about him on the Nina Paper blog, ninapaperblog.com. So.
That's great. Can we put something like, can we put like an Easter egg in there? That?
But I'm trying to think of one of the, I don't remember when the last time I had him on the show. Maybe at a conference, probably. I know we talked to him when he was AIJ national president. That's a big deal. And Nebraska's never going to get an AIJ national president again. You know, I mean, the fact that it's like just everything had to hit
right
for it to happen. But it was great. It was great for Omaha, I think. So
cool.
I mean, I think there was something sneaky going on there. I think he somehow made that happen. I mean, when you watch House of Cards, you know what I'm talking about. I think Drew worked behind the scenes and made some things happen.
No, because he actually, I think he happened to be on the board at the time. And the president
proving
fell
my
in,
point.
And the incoming president didn't happen as it was expected. And so they needed somebody to step in.
Because
Drew
Davies did something?
Possibly. The weird part is, though, after he was up with his co-presidency, I think he was offered to, like, you want to continue? Or I think they were even like, you want to just be the president? And he somehow turned that one down, so I don't know.
Well, I think it's because
he's trying to stick into that Dick Cheney where you actually can control everything but not take the blame.
Yeah, I think if, you know, he would have done, maybe all the stuff would have come out, you know, that he did, so.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is,
you know, he leaves and all of a sudden Rick Rippey has to step down or
I mean, yeah,
retires,
I, mean, I don't
want to,
hey,
whatever.
I don't want to spread rumors. I don't want to be that person.
Yeah.
You said it.
Okay.
Drew, we love you.
Yeah. Drew Davies, superstar designer Drew Davies, registered trademark of Andrew Davies.
The son of Nebraska.
Yeah.
Well, hey, thanks for having us on your show.
Hey, thanks for being on the show, Wills. Good to see you. Thank you for providing us the wonderful interpretive dance during most of the show.
Of course.
Show.
Yeah.
So, and that's a good cultural deal. So, what are you doing, Rule 29, to really sell the culture of Wills dancing?
It sells itself. It is,
yeah, I mean, if you were to see it, it's amazing. I mean, first of all, the thing that's kind of
disappointing. But I mean, you made like structural changes in the building.
The floor plan has been widened and opened up a little bit because I need a lot of space.
I mean, look at him. He's lanky. His like arm reach is like a condor. It's incredible.
Yeah, I bet you
preferred lean or athletic.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a leap like Steve Gordon's triple jumps.
Ooh, I don't know. I would actually like to see that.
Mm-hmm. I did a basketball camp when I was in eighth grade. So that might have something to do with it.
You know, triple jump's a track thing, not a basketball.
Yeah, yeah, I know, but jumping is
basketball
too. You know,
Steve could like triple jump like the length of a semi trailer.
Well, he used
really?
To be. He's an old man now.
Yeah,
I said that ridiculous. Yeah. But I think one of the things is he cut his hair. He used to have this huge, like white dude fro.
Okay,
it was amazing, and you'd walk, and it would kind of have its own.
And it was
going
ruining
on.
The culture because he was way cooler than you.
Well, he's way cooler than me now, but I think part of it is.
But I mean,
just
like visibly, there was no even
yeah,
like,
right,
there was
right.
no even like you could act
yeah.
like you were at that level.
No, and I tried, but I'm losing my hair. Very similar to you, actually.
Oh, I've lost mine. I'm ahead of you on that game. I mean, if we're racing, I think I'm.
Yeah, I mean,
way past the finish line.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
Ahead.
Good. Yeah.
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 Very nice.
Mm-hmm. This is probably the most riveting podcast of the HOW conference so far.
Actually, it's fun. I'm enjoying
yeah,
this. So.
Yeah.
All right, we better stop before.
Oh, no, we got to start one more thing.
Okay, what do we got?
I need to know. I want you to be honest. When you saw Han Solo and Chewie at the end, did you tear up a little bit?
We're talking about the new trailer.
The new yes. Star Wars trailer.
It's amazing.
I teared up. Did you tear up? Be honest.
I don't remember, but
did you feel
I,
funny inside?
I think the first thing I did was like rewind it, watch again. Mm-hmm. You know,
a couple times
through the whole day. So,
I mean, Will's disappointed that Jar Jar Binks wasn't in it, but that's okay.
I've seen all six movies in the theater, original. You know, mm-hmm. Now that I don't remember going to the first one.
Yeah, because what are you, 50 years old? I mean,
I was probably like one when the first mm-hmm. one. No, I guess I was like three. But I don't remember going to the first one in the theater. But I remember when they re-released it before Empire. I remember my grandma taking me again then. I remember.
Oh, that's cool.
So I remember seeing all of them in theater, and I saw them when they came out again. But you know, when 83 came along and it was Jedi and it's all great, I'm just like, this is wonderful. There's going to be a new Star Wars movie every 3 years for the rest of my life, and I think that's great. And then all of a sudden, you know, 1989 rolls around. I'm like, oh, they're not making, like, how are they not making a new
right.
movie? And then it kind of set in somewhere in high school. I don't think they're ever going to make one of these again.
Yeah.
So it's happy that they started making them. And now it looks like we'll probably get a Star Wars movie every 3 years for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Well, JJ can only be so JJ lucky. Will kill it. I think he's going to yeah. kill it. Anyways, I thought of you when I saw Disney's
got money behind it. So mm-hmm. they're like, they're going to make something. Whether or not they're good, I don't.
Yeah, but I think what I've seen so far, he's played everything right. When you know, in the opening scene, when the speeder is going across the desert and you see the destroyer down, it's just
and it's back to a lot of actual props rather yeah. than green screening.
Hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah, one of the things he did is he wanted to shoot as much as he possibly could, real, which I thought was interesting because I think his Star Treks were all, you know, not that way. So.
Yeah, it's weird because I think there've been like leaked scenes of like there'll be like an Air Force base and it's like half of the Millennium Falcon is built so that you know for the exterior oh, shots really? And stuff.
That's very cool.
It's gonna look good in my backyard if I can buy it when it's done. But
oh, you totally should do that. Or you know what? Move your firm into it.
Ooh, that might be good. That's your next trade show booth for Wheels for Water.
There it is.
It's an entire like Millennium Falcon
right.
or something.
Little turn.
Yeah, that would be great. Still hey, you one. Should come ride with us.
California?
450
miles?
No, next year. Next year, come ride for us.
Where's next year? Are you going to do like, we can do like a 5 mile loop around Omaha? I could do that. Maybe 15. I could probably do
You know, we're going to have to make sure that we put some SPF 50 on the top of your dome there. That thing is going to reflect light.
Nah, you know, 15 miles, I can handle it without burning.
It's more aerodynamic. Well, I want to protect your mount. I have to put a helmet on that thing at least.
Always wear helmets. That's one of the things that's changed in my lifetime is bike helmets. When I was a kid, you couldn't wear one.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, you get beat up or made fun of. You make fun of yourself.
Get more hurt wearing a helmet.
And then when I bought a bike, when I bought a bike a few years ago, it's like, oh, I'm going to buy a helmet. And I was like, oh, crap, never thought I'd do that, you know.
But yeah.
Now it's just normal. Everyone wears them. It's great.
Mm-hmm. It is great. Wear your helmets, kids.
Okay. And carry a lot of water with you?
Yes.
You guys also have, like, what is it? One of the other props down in your booth there, the Wheels for Water, is jugs of water.
Jerry can, yeah.
So what's the story there? Because you just have jugs and it says carry these or something, and there's 5 gallons in each, so that's probably, what, 70 pounds between
the two? It's like 40 pounds. And,
I mean, for both of them then.
Oh, it's 80 then.
Okay, so 80 pounds.
Yeah. So the whole point was to give people some context. So I showed a video when I presented the concept of Wheels for Water, and this little 10-year-old guy I met when I was in Uganda picked it up, and you could hear him like just struggling with it. And until you pick it up, you don't realize how heavy it is. And so I saw people around his age and just a little bit older putting, you know, two or three of these on a bike and then, you know, rolling at home or trying to ride at home. And I think it's really.
And how far do they have to go with these?
It's an average of about 10 miles.
Okay. And is it a paved road or is it just like a
no?
Okay, it's not an easy 10 miles.
No. It's like mountain biking with your.
With an extra 80 pounds on the back of it, okay.
And so I think when you pick the jerry can up, it gives you a point of context, right? So you pick it up, like, man, it's heavy. And you think about, you don't have to do that. So when we did our ride last year, we filtered all of our own water. So as soon as we landed in Boston, we didn't drink any water that we didn't filter ourselves. And we filtered it all into these jerry cans just so we could try to sort of relate to their normal, which, you know, was ridiculous because, of course, later that night, we could go take a shower and use a toilet and all that sort of thing. But it was just one dimension, especially with cycling, because you have to drink so much water.
Right.
You know, we were constantly looking for places to filter new water because we didn't want to run out. So it really helped us shift the fact that we take water for granted.
Okay, No, that's great. Okay, wheelsforwater.com.
Or .org.
.org. I'm sorry. Does someone else own .com or does it redirect? Or?
Someone else does own it, yeah.
Oh, why do they even do that?
I don't know.
And rule29.com?
Yes.
All right. Wills, Justin, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Reflex Blue Show with Donovan Beery is hosted at 36point.com. Music by Dustlab. Find out more at myspace.com/dustlab.